Just prior to Gethsemane and Calvary, there came to pass in the life of Jesus a series of incidents which reflect what he expects of his followers. They emphasize and re-emphasize the social aspects of his message. He knew he was nearing the end of his earthly work when he would leave his disciples and return to his Father. He had, in his life and word, displayed the glory of his Father's kingdom, and yet they, in their own humor and blindness, did not understand. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread found the disciples and their master just outside Jerusalem. The feast was closely connected in time and in importance to the great feast of the Passover, and Jesus was reminded of the necessary preparations for the event. Not only this, he had great desire to eat this Passover with them, the last before he had to suffer. This desire was stimulated by a number of things, among them his past associations with his beloved, his knowledge through his prescience that this would be his last Passover, and also the knowledge that before him was the task of giving to his disciples and all the Christian world the sublimation of the Passover and the lessons which were crowded into the time of the Passover supper and the initiation of the Lord's Supper. At this point, we will let Dr. Frederick M. Smith take up the chronicle of events. He sent two of his most trusted disciples to prepare the room, the feast, and for their reception when they should come later. But they failed him to a degree, and in that failure they gave Jesus opportunity for an important lesson. They found the room, prepared it, killed the lamb, and spread the feast. But for the reception of their master and their brethren, there was not adequate preparation made. The reason of their failure lies at the bottom of a trait often displayed by man. It is said in the Scriptures that there had been strife among the disciples, even those closest to Jesus. They could not agree which of them should be accounted the greatest. With the bitterness that always is a concomitant of such strife, one of the social amenities was omitted from the reception of Jesus and the brethren at the room of the feast. In those times and in that country, the common footgear, where footgear was worn at all, was the sandal. The soil being sandy and rocky, a great discomfort to the traveller was the accumulation of sand and pebbles between the sandal and the foot, and between the toes. So one of the first acts of hospitality extended to an incoming guest by a host was for a basin of water and a towel to be brought, the feet laved, so the foot weariness and irritation by sand and pebble could be relieved and the guest enter in comfort. This act of courtesy was usually done by a servant, of course at the command or by instruction of the host, or as a result of his previous training. It was a custom well established. But the disciples, already quarreling as to which of them was the greatest, were unwilling to assume the role of a servant and refresh the incoming guest by an act of hospitality so much needed. Apparently, on coming to the room, Jesus took little or no notice of this error on the part of those he had sent to make preparations. But after they had eaten, and probably after he had listened to the rumblings of the strife as to the greatest, and mayhap even about the washing of feet, he arose, girded himself with a towel, which is a sign or symbol of a servant, took a basin of water, and he himself washed the feet of his disciples. Then he at once impressed a beautiful lesson of service and administered a stern rebuke to his disciples for their discourtesy. When he had finished and had taken his garments and sat down, he asked them if they knew what he had done to them. He said, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. No finer demonstration of the principle of real service could be given than this incident. No question arose in the mind of the master as to class or station of those needing service. His only question was, is service needed? And his answer to that was given the Christian world a fine example. An example it was, not a pattern. Here, as in many other cases of events related in the Bible, certain things have been taken out of their proper setting and made to do service where not intended. Jesus, in order to impress the lesson of service to those in need, and to attend to what should have been done when the guests arrived at the room of the feast, himself washed the feet of the disciples as an example, and did not intend it as a pattern of a ceremony to be perpetuated, as some have tried to do. What he meant, as I believe, when he said, "An example that ye should do as I have done unto you," was when there is service to do, acts of kindness to render, courtesies to extend, the question of rank, caste, or class should not be raised, but ministry rendered without question, and that in such ministry, the Master, the Great, would in no way suffer degradation, but would be honored for his spirit of kindness and helpfulness. There is no need today, when men's feet are more protectingly shod, for the courtesy of foot washing at the door, but there is always need for distress to be relieved, kindness to be extended, and graciousness to be manifested. How is it with you? Do you withhold your ministry of goodness at times because, in your opinion, persons are below you in rank? Who draws the lines of rank, anyhow? And who will draw them at the great and final bar of judgment? Thus the great master of men administered a rebuke to his disciples and demonstrated his own humility. When one reflects upon the gods of the philosophers, he does not find among them such self-effacing humility. Our Heavenly Father was once among us in Jesus Christ, and was among us as one who served. We are made that eventually we may become like he is. Our opportunity to do so lies in our service to those in need.